to Perek Beis, Pasik Gimel. Pasik Gimel, Vatelech, Vatavo, Vatelaki, Vatsodeh. No, I'm sorry. Pasik Gimel, Vatelech, Vatavo, Vatelaki, Vatsodeh. Pasik says that Rus, she went and she came. Vatelaket basode. Now vatavo means she she returned. Vatavo vatelech, she went vatavo. Vatelaket basode, she gathered in the field. Acharei hakoytzrim, after the harvesters. In other words, she did not take the lead. She was just collecting the leftovers. The leket, she couldn't pay the leket, so she gathered after the harvesters took their portion. Vayikar mikreho. And it happened, the two words which mean the same thing, vayikar mikrecha, and an occurrence happened, a chance event occurred. Something which, with potluck, she could have stumbled upon any one of many fields, but it happened, chilkas hasode levoaz asher mimishpachas elimelech. She happened to chance upon the field that belonged to Boaz, who is from the same family of Elimelech. Let's see Rashi, Pasuk Gimel. Vatelech vatavo vatelaked basodeh. Motsinu b'medrash rush ad loyozlas achas. Shehu oimer. Vatavo. The achar vatalaket. So there's a question. The two words seem to be redundant. The two words seem to be superfluous. Why does it say vatelech vatovo? So one more time. Matzinu bemedrash rus. And then I said matzinu bemedrash rus ad loy ozlas achas. Let me actually read the source, the medrash, because sorry, just one moment. Okay, here it is. Ad kadun loy ozlas, before she went vatelech, it says vatovo. Viat omras vatovo. So how do we read those words into Rashi as follows? Motzinu b'medrashus ad loy ozlas, osas ad loy ozlas. Ad kadun loy ozlas va'at omros va'tovo. Okay, I'm not sure how to read the words. I'm not sure how to read the words of Rashi. I didn't pay attention to what it said here exactly. But the basic idea is, why is there repetition? Why does it say the two words va'telech va'tovo? If the pasuk would have been written va'tovo va'telaket basodeh achrei hakotshim, or if the pasuk would have said va'telech va'telaket basodeh, then it would be self-understood. Why is it necessary for it to say vatelech? And before we finish saying vatelech, it says vatovo. That's what Rashi means to say. Motzinu b'medrashus adli ozlas osas shehu oimer vatovo. Before you say the word ozlas vatelech, already osas shehu oimer, it's necessary to say the word vatovo.
She came back.
So, okay, I don't know the exact translation of these words. It's a little bit more complex than I thought, but the basic idea is, why does it say the two words vatelech vatovo? V'yachar telaket, ela. So here Rashi is telling us the reason why it says these two words, ela. Shehoisa misamenes hadarochim.
Ad loy ozlas. You went, you already came back.
Okay, ad loy ozlas osas. Before you went, vatelech, you already have to say vatovo. Osas, you came back. Shehu Omer, because what's my question? Because the Shehu Omer, Rashi elaborates upon the Medrash Rus.
No, what you should have said is Vatelech Vatilkat
Vatavo. Oh, okay, that's another kashka. There are many questions. There are many different ways it could have been written. It could have just written one word. Some say just one word would have been enough. Or it could have just read the other way around. First Vatovo Vatelech. Or, okay, but the way of the push, why the...
around for reconnaissance.
Okay, that's one of the... Let's see what Rashi says. Let's read the words to Rashi again. Motzinu b'medrash rus ad le ozlas osas. Before she telach, she went, she already returned. You're not giving her a chance. You're not giving her a chance to gather anything. Shehu oimer, what does the medrash mean with these words? Ozlas osas. Shehu oimer vatovo. It says vatovo v'achar, and then it says vatelaket. The word... Like you should vatelech vatelaket vatovo. Right, that's really what Rashi means to say. The pasuk should have said vatelech, she went, vatelaket, she gathered, vatovo, and she came, meaning that she returned home. And yet it says vatelech, she went, vatovo, she returned, and then it says vatelaket. So what is going on over here? So Rashi first al derech pshat tells us the meaning. Ella, the answer is shehoisa misamenes hadarachim koidem shnichnas lasadeh. She would mark her return. It was a very complicated plan, a very complicated path to go back home. You have to remember, this was the days before GPS and before MapQuest and before all the road signs. I don't know how they lived. I don't know. How do they live?
What?
Before Hansel and Gretel? Okay, before they had all these means of technology, how was she able to make her way back home? You're traveling out into the fields, so you finally stumble upon the field that belongs to Boaz. Now you collect what you want, now you have to go back home, and it's very, very easy to get lost. Baruch Hashem, we live in the modern world, we don't really understand how complicated things were. So Ella, so the answer is that when she went out into the fields to gather, as she walked along the road, she put markers. She put markers in order to, it should be easy for her to find her way back. Ella shehoisa misamenes hadrochim, she would mark the roads kodem shnichnasu lasadeh, before she would enter into a particular field. V'holcha uba, she would go and she would return. V'chazra le'ir kedei lasos simonim vitziyunim, to make signs and markers, shloitite bashibolim, not to make a mistake with regard to the shibolim, the teda loshuv, and she should know how to return. Bashvilim, she's not on the road, not to make a mistake on the pass, vateda loshuv, and she should know exactly how to return. So we go back to the pasukim vatelech vatovo, before she would gather, she already had a plan how to return. Vatavo doesn't mean that literally she would return, but she already knew as she was traveling, planning her return plan. Vatelech, as she traveled and would seek a field where she could find stalks to collect midin leket, she was already vatavo, she was marking the roads to plan her return trip. So that now, vatalakin, when she would gather, she would not have any difficulty coming back home. When a person is traveling back home with a lot of packages, with the bundles of grain, she's vulnerable. Someone may attack her on the road, someone may steal her produce. So again, vatelech, as she traveled, vatavo, does not mean literally she would return. She planned her return route and by putting markers. She planned, she marked the drachim before she entered the field. V'holcha uva, she traveled. V'chazra le'ir, and she returned. Kidei laso simonim v'tziyunim. Okay, that's what it means. V'chazra le'ir means as she was going, she went back and forth. She mapped it out. Okay, she mapped it out. V'atelech v'atavo, like you said, reconnaissance. She mapped out the plan, the entire plan, the travel plan. Not to make a mistake on the roads, she should know how to return. Okay, that's the basic idea. So that's why we have these two words here, vatelech vatavo, according to Rashi, according to the simple interpretation of the Medrash. We'll come to more interpretations in a few moments. Then we come to the next words of Rashi, vayiker mikreha, and a chance event occurred, lavoi b'chelkas hasod asher leboas, if she could have stumbled upon any one of many fields, it happened to be hashkocha pratis, she came upon the field that belonged to Boaz, whose wife had died that day, and who was from the family of Elimelech. Let's see the Targum. Pasik Gimel Va'azalas Va'alas. Okay, the same two words. She went and she came. Uchinashas, and she gathered.
She entered.
Uchinashas means to gather. Uchinashas, like Kenisha. Kenisa. Here in the translation, it translates with Vatelaket. Three words. Va'azalas Va'telech. Va'alas means Va'tavo. Uchinashas, he translates vatilaket, to collect. Lashon of kinisa, even though it's spelled with a
kinisa means entering.
No, here is with a shin. Here means to collect. That's how it translates. Uchina shas to collect. Bechaklo the field. Bosar chotzodaya. After the kotzrim, after the harvesters finished doing their thing, they would harvest the field, they would cut the field, they would collect all of the stalks, and of course it's inevitable that they're going to leave over one or two stalks, that's called leket. They're not going to be able to cut every single stalk, and those single stalks or double stalks belong to the poor people, so she would collect after the kotzrim made their rounds in the field. And it says here, ve'era, it occurred, here are two difficult words, which you're not really familiar with, ir, a'o, Ach sonas, and that means a mikra. Two words which mean the same thing. And vayikher mikrecha, a chance occurrence. A chakla, she happened to come upon a field. The havas. So I made a mistake. I'm sorry. The era ir aho. I'm sorry. There's an extra word here. They're eating over here. The era ir aho means a chance occurrence happened. Ach sonas. Ach sonas means a nachala. The inheritance, that I do not believe is in the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vayikra mikrecha chelkas." Okay, maybe that's what it means. Chelkas means the inheritance. The inheritance, the property, achsonas, chakla, the field, the havol boas, the min yichus elimelech, from the yichus, the lineage of elimelech. So seemingly every word is accounted for. The targum here does not appear to be eating any, at least al derech pshat, at least simply does not appear to be eating any major, any major interpretation into the pasuk. Each word is translated word for word. Okay, so this is the pshat and the pasuk with Rashi. And the Targum. Now, a few couple of ideas. Okay, one of them is a Gra. There's a thing from an idea from the Gra that it's repeated on every sefer that I used to appear. He says the same idea, and he says the reason. Besides what Rashi says, Vatelech Vatavo means that when you go collect, you go forward. The field, let's assume the field has a fence, so you go forward, and as you go forward, you pick up a stalk. Pick up another stalk, and by the time you get to the end of the field, you have a large bundle of stalks, and you're done. Now it's time to go home. So now you have to schlep this large bundle of stalks out. You're at the very edge of the field, and now you have to go backwards. You have to make an about face and walk. It can be a very long trip. You have to carry on your back this heavy bundle of grain. The wisdom, it's a davar pashut, but the wisdom of Rus was she first went to the extreme end of the field. That's why it says Vatelech. Vatelech doesn't mean she entered into the beginning of the field. She went into the extreme edge of the field. And then she collected the bundle, the single stalks of grain as she returned. And there she gained by going backwards, by coming to the very end and walking backwards, she gained that she did not have to carry a heavy bundle of grain twice. Because if she would go and pick up the stalks piece by piece as she would enter forward and then come to the end of the field, she doesn't have any koyach, doesn't have any she can't carry anything more. She has to carry that heavy load backwards. This way, by walking to the end of the field empty-handed first, and then picking up your load as you go out, you save yourself carrying a heavy bundle at least through the area, the breadth of the field. Now, what? That, does it say that? Not necessarily.
She walked behind the
Kaiser. Now the question is, why would she want that? What's the great Chochman doing this? So very nice. This seems to be something which is very simple, right? Which is Pashat Adam Od. If we were doing this, isn't that what any normal person would do? You go to the end, you work your way backwards. That way you save yourself, you optimize. Everything today is all about optimization. Gotta, everything has to be squeezed for the last penny. Gotta save bandwidth, you gotta save CPU cycles. What? Exactly. That's the koyach. The koyach is that since she's not the only one collecting in the field, there are other people, there are other aniyim here as well. So we're going to see a lot of the midrashim speak about that. That was the tznius of Rus, that she stayed away from the men. She did not mingle among the men, and she was not the only one. And it's always competition. You ever go to a shul and there are a whole bunch of collectors? Each collector is not very happy to meet his companion, another collector, because each collector takes away from what you potential to ask from other people. So if you go into a field and you see right in front of you two stalks of grain, it's natural. The tendency is to chap. Chop it right away. Even though it's going to mean you're going to have to schlep it all the way back with you. If right now I have an opportunity to make a quick buck, chop it. Even though I'm going to have to pay taxes. Right? But what would be, it would be, obviously, theoretically, it would be ideal to walk to the end of the field and walk and go backwards. But if I go to the end of the field and I pass over these stalks of grain, then who says on my return visit, on my way out, they will still be here? By that time, when I walk backwards, someone else, another poor man, will have already grabbed and pluck from the ground these stalks of grain. So the Teretz says, this is all part of the midos of Rus HaMoviya, which Boaz is extremely pressed, that she had emuna, that whatever was meant to be for her, now obviously this is to be taken with a grain of salt, you have to have emuna, but you have to also do your hashtadlus, but she felt that it's enough hashtadlus. Whatever is meant to be, is meant to be. I don't have to also suffer the difficulty of carrying a heavy load on my back, a distance that's not necessary. Is it possible that when I make my return trip, it's not going to be here anymore because someone else will have taken it? Yes, but there's still a significant chance. There's enough for everyone. There's a significant chance. So therefore, it would be a little bit too much. It would be a lack of emunah on my part to be too aggressive in taking it at this moment in time when it would cause me to exert myself on the way out. I remember reading in a biography about Rav Dester. Rav Dester was one of the greatest Balei Musar of the previous generation. One of the last remnants of Kelm. From the Talmidim of Kelm, a product of Kelm, a very great Baal Musar. And when he went to the subway, I don't know if he ever traveled on the subway, but I used to travel on the subway a little more often than I do now. And you come to the station and you hear the train pulling in. Now it's much more sophisticated. They have all the beeps. If you have a smartphone, which I don't have, you have an app, it can tell you exactly where the train is. So you know exactly, and if you go there every single day, you can time it. You know exactly how long it takes to walk up the steps and how long, you know, you get into the hole, and you know when you at the turnstile, you know if you're going to make it. If you hear the train coming in, you know. So what could you do? You just run. You run a little bit, you hustle and you are, excuse me, and you step on someone's toes and you make it, you run up the steps and you can just barely make it into the train to be squashed in like a sardine for the next 45 minutes. Alright, so that's what you try to do. Rav Dester never did that. He felt, you don't rush. If you miss the train, you miss the train. It's not, you have to live with emunah. Even on a simple thing like going to the train, you come to the train station, like a mensch, you buy your metro card, or you replenish the metro card, you swipe it gently, you walk up the steps gently, you're polite to all the other people, you say hello, good morning, you don't step. If you happen to miss the train, so you miss the train, even if you hear the train rumbling in, that's part of being a true Baal Musar.
They didn't even look if the train was coming.
He just walked, he was very gentle, and there's a story you told with him, there was a person accompanying him that was not like this, another Rav. He would hustle, and he was walking in the Rav Dest, and Rav Dest said, I'm sorry, that's not my Hanhaga. I don't run to the train. If I miss it, I miss it. I'll wait for the next train. That's my Hanhaga. This Hanhaga made a very great impression upon the Santal Mechacham, what it means to be a true Baal Musar. In essence, that's what's happening over here with Rus. Rus over here is coming into the field. You know, you come to the field, I can hustle. I have an opportunity. There are stalks right here. I can chop, put into my bag, chop, 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 and walk to the end of the field. And we're not talking about a field the size of this room. We're talking about a field, you know, we're talking a field that's a couple of acres, dealing with it, it's a mile long. So I'm going to chop, 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 chop now, and then I'm going to have to carry this heavy bundle in the hot sun, on a hot day, all the way back. You could do it. You want to be a hustler. You want to make parnasa. But if you're a Baal Musar and al pi derech hateva, there's a 70% chance that on the way back the same thing will be here. So I have to give the Ribbono Shel Olam, give him 30% emunah. Give the Ribbono Shel Olam 70%. I'll do my hashtadlus. 30%. I'll leave it to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Everyone has to make a calculation for the what madrigo they're on, where the hashtadlus point is. Obviously, you can't be simcha l'nes, yeah. That's really what it means. It means she walked to the par point. That's what it means. Yeah.
No, it's saying that she walked here and walked back.
Yeah.
But she could walk halfway. She's filled up.
Right.
she could turn around and do something else.
Yeah, but even the pilot, so she could walk halfway and walk backwards. So walking halfway, you're also burdening yourself with a bond. Doesn't necessarily mean she walked to the very, very end. It means she walked to a point where now I'm going to save myself the burden of carrying a heavy load. I know from here, I'll be derech hateva, from this point to the, going backwards, I'll fill up enough food for what I need. That's pretty much what it means. Whatever the calculation is, but you have to give every person on their madrega has to allow the Ribbono Shel Olam to enter into his hishtadlus, and there's a point of where your hishtadlus comes to an end. For every person, it's different. For the average person, you got to hustle a little bit. You got to catch the train. For Rav Dessler, he was a true Baal Musar on his madrega. You don't do that. You come to the train station, you miss the train. Here, this is a very high madrega of Emuna that Rus showed relative to the other people, the other Anim, which caught the eye attention of Boaz. This woman is something special. She first goes to the end of the field and she comes backwards. She passes up opportunities because she has Emuna that on the way out, I'll find it'll be enough for me to collect on the way out and I'll have what to eat, so I don't have to go and exert myself. I can be a disciplined person. And this was something that was very impressive in the eyes of Boaz. Okay, that's one idea. Another idea came across in the Mishpatzei Zav. It talks about collectors. This is a very interesting idea. We once spoke about this a while ago, that there was a write-up in one of the magazines, I think it was Mishpacha magazine, about what the behind the scenes of people who come to collect, poor people who come from Eretz Yisrael, and they come to America to collect, and the whole industry of the driver, of where they stay, there are certain people that put them up, how much they pay for their airfare, how much money they really make, and the humiliation that they undergo, knock on people's door to collect a dollar here, a dollar there. So that article described people who are extremely poor and desperate, and they're not accustomed, they're not used to collecting. They're not used to this, and they're very humiliated. And some of them, they come to America. They everything is in play, and they start going out to collect, and they quit very quickly. They don't care. They just go back to Eretz Yisrael destitute because they just can't do it. They just can't. The humiliation is so great of snoring money, it breaks them, and they go home. So he takes this idea and he refers to what it says by Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, at the time of the Bris Milah, after his Bris Milah, Bahiba Yom HaShlishi, Hashem took out the sun from its sheath, and it was extremely hot, and Avraham Avinu was very sad. Hashem did not want to bother Avraham Avinu with collectors. Hashem made it very hot, so no one should come bother Avraham. Avraham said just the opposite. How could I let people leave me? So Avraham, it says in the pasuk, was Yoshev the Pesach Ho'oihel. Now, I don't know all the sources, but there's a medrash. Why was Avraham Yoshev the Pesach Ho'oihel, the Pesach? So the question is, because collectors, they'll come and knock on your door no matter what. No matter how hot it is, they'll come knock on the door. Avraham, we can sit inside an air-conditioned home, inside Hotel Eshel. That was his hotel. Achila Shesiu Levia. And the collectors, they'll come. If there's going to be a collector out there in the streets, he'll come. He'll get to you. Right? On the desert island, you don't have to worry if you're stranded on a desert island. As long as you've pledged to the UJA, everyone knows that joke, they'll come, they'll find you. So why did Avraham need to be Yoshev al Pesach Ha'oyel? Rashi there says he was afraid there'll be an Oyver Veshav. Because maybe there'll be a person who's Oyver Veshav. What does it mean there, Oyver Veshav? That touches upon this pasuk where it says as well that Ruth came and she was Vatelech Vatava. It should say maybe there'll be an Oyver. Maybe a person will be Oyver over the Pesach of Avraham, And Avraham will have an opportunity to take him into his home and give him food and drink. Why does Rashi say in Oyver Vishav? And why does it say that Avraham was Yoshef ala Pesach? He could have sat inside and waited for the doorbell to ring. So the answer is, you're right. The people who are accustomed to collecting, who are already in a state where they have no shame, and unfortunately we know there are people like this, they have no shame, they'll come, they'll knock on your door no matter how hot it is, no matter what the situation is, they'll come and get you. But there are people out there who still have dignity. And when they come to collect, before they make that first knock on the door, they hesitate. They were once wealthy, they're once in a much better financial state, and now Rachman al-Islam, when they're reduced to this humiliating situation of coming to collect, they don't knock on the door quickly. They knock with hesitation. They're oyver v'shav. They come, okay, I gotta collect money, I'm about to ring the bell, I can't do it. And they turn back. In the article, it actually described this scenario. They come to the door, and they go back, they come, they go back. It's extremely painful for them to ring the bell. Avraham wanted to save specifically those people humiliation. The people who are oyver, they come and they knock on the door, they have no humiliation. They'll get Avraham. No matter where he is, they'll find him. Avraham is giving out money, they'll find him. But there are people who don't want to take Sene Matana Sikhya. Those people Avraham wanted to greet before, to save them that humiliation. But that would come at the expense of Avraham having to suffer to go out of his comfortable air-conditioned home and sit in the burning hot sun and wait for these people to see from the distance of his eye, to see the car coming around the corner. Oh, that guy, I know what the story is. I know how humiliated he is. Let me be mocked him. Let me run to him. Let me greet him. Let me take him in before he's embarrassed. It's specifically the people who are oyver v'shav, to whom Avraham needs to be yoshev al Pesach ha'oyel. The oyver, you don't need to sit on the Pesach ha'oyel. It's the people who are embarrassed, that are going back and forth. The oyver v'shav, you need to be on the Pesach ha'oyel to go and chop them. So that's what it says in the Mishmas HaZav in reference to Rus. Rus was humiliated. She was once the daughter of Melech Moav, royalty. There was nothing that she was lacking. She was married to the most distinguished person, one of the most distinguished princes in Klal Yisrael, to Machlein, from a Mishpacha Miyuches in Klal Yisrael. She had it all. And now she's reduced to a state of poverty where she has to go collect in the scorching hot sun single stalks of grain. And therefore, she was begeder an oyver v'shof. And the bracha, the maila is, she did not lose her dignity. She didn't fall to a state where she was miayesh and she had no dignity. She still maintained her dignity, and it was difficult for her to be a shnora, to be a collector. And that is a maila. It's a tremendous maila to have that dignity where it's painful. Person already loses his self-esteem where he has no shame. That already is something which is not good. Here the Pasuk Gimel says, "Vatelech vatavo." She came into the field. I can't. I just can't do it. I can't take tzedakah. I'm not used to this. Soine matanas yichya. I come from a king. I'm a king's daughter. I was married to Machlon. My father-in-law was the richest man in the world, Elimelech. I can't. Vatelech. Vatavo, she goes back home. Vatelech vatavo. Vatelech vatavo. It's an oyver v'shav. Boaz, who is this person? Who is this person that is having such difficulty going and coming, coming and going? Obviously, this person comes from greatness. Because a person that does not come from greatness will not have this nesoyon, will just chap, will come into the field and take. It's an entirely different idea again. So this idea, we're connecting the Tehillah Chatavo to the Pasuk in Avraham Avinu, the Rashi, Oyver Veshav. It comes to bring out the point that this person, Rashi, still did maintain a degree of dignity in how she collected her the stock. Okay, we also mentioned Vayikar Mikre, we discussed yesterday. Vayikar Mikrecha, here it's a double expression of of chance. I think this is the only place we have such an expression. We have ki kore kantzipar lefonecha baderech. When it comes to kantzipar, it's described as a chance occurrence. It's something that you cannot prepare for. Kantzipar, the mitzvah of shluch hakein, is called in Chazal a mitzvah kala. The reason why it's a mitzvah kala is because you cannot prepare for it. Kibud avoim is something which you can prepare for. You can do. You can. You know what the situation is, and there's work to be done. But a mitzvah which comes upon you by chance is called the mitzvah kala. Geula. Here we're describing the coming of the geula. Mashiach comes behesach hadas. That's what Chazal says. Chazal tell us the Mashiach says it's not going to come. There's hachana. You're preparing. Okay, now the day is coming. We're getting a day closer. Day closer. There is no hachana for the coming of Mashiach. The coming of Mashiach, Chazal says, comes when you least expect it. Ein Mashiach ba ad shenisyayish min ha-geula. Chazal tells us that the people, Klal Yisrael, will give up. They're not even going to fathom that it's possible for Mashiach to come, and then suddenly, Be'erafayin, Mashiach just comes. And that is why, since over here, the meeting of Rus with Boaz is now going to bring about the birth of Mashiach, of the ancestors of David HaMelech, who is the Melech HaMashiach. Therefore, it's described not just with the word Vayikar, with a single expression of chance, not just with which means just happened suddenly, but with the only place in Tanakh where there's a double, that's compounded the chance occurrence to be a Maisa of a similar banan, the Geula will come with the Chesed Hadas. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalet says, "Vihinei voaz bami beis lachem, vayomer lakoytzrim Hashem imachem," and he says to the harvesters, "May Hashem be with you." Vayomer loy, and they responded, "Yivarechecha Hashem, may Hashem bless you." Now the word, let's see, Rashi pasuk Dalet. If there is here a Rashi, there is no Rashi. Let's go to the Targum pasuk Dalet. V'ha is the translation of Vihine, and behold, Boaz, Asa, has arrived, Mibes Lechem, Va'aman, it said, Lichot Sodayo, he said to the harvesters, Yehei Memrod Hashem Bisatchoi. Now here the Targum is indeed adding in some more words into the Pasuk. He adds in the word, the Memra. Memra means the mimer. The words, may Hashem's utterance, may Hashem's command, I'm not sure what the depth of this means, but may Hashem's words, the Mamar Hashem, may it be at your assistance, besadchon, to assist you, to help you. Okay, does not say that in the pasuk. The pasuk just says imochem, with you. Does not say that Hashem shall be your helper, shall be your assistant. Just Hashem shall be with you. And also he says Hashem. Hashem does not mean literally Hashem. It means the mamar Hashem, the word of Hashem, which if we want to say a little bit of a Jewish, it doesn't mean that Hashem should help you. It means you who attach yourself to the words of Hashem, that will be your support. Very big difference. If you take the pasuk literally, Hashem imachem, it does not depend upon you. The Ribbono shel Olam shall bless you. He shall be at your assistance even if you're sleeping. But if that's similarly how you would translate the pasuk. Well, the Targum is saying, no, may the Mamar Hashem, may the words of Hashem be at your assistance, which means Hashem's not going to help you. You, the harvesters, you should connect yourself to the words of Hashem. You should follow the mitzvos, the nizar in the tayag mitzvos. The mamar Hashem is the Torah. The word of Hashem are the words of the Torah. By attaching yourself to the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mimela, you will be a person who will be successful, because being mekayim the Torah mitzvos is what brings success to a person. It's an entirely different focus of who is the one that is applying themselves. That's seemingly what the Targum says. The mamar Hashem b'satchon, the words of Hashem should be your assistance when you attach yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And how did they respond? They responded v'amaru lei, they said to Boaz, yivorchin no Hashem, may Hashem bless you. Okay, so this is the Targum. Now let's go discuss a few things. Chazal, very popular member Chazal, they tell us that this day Boaz was misaking a chiddush, a new halacha, that you may be shoyel b'shloim chavercha b'shem Hashem. That when you greet your friend, you're allowed to say Hashem, you take the pasuk to its natural, to its little translation, you can actually say Yud Ke Vav Ke. Hashem Imochem, Hashem may be with you. Oh, you'll ask me the question, but you're not allowed to say Hashem's name Livatolo. You're not allowed to say Hashem's name in vain. The answer is, this is not in vain, or we say Ace. Oh, okay, well, no, okay, that's another issue. You're talking about he's saying Imochem before you say Hashem. Which one do you say first? You say Hashem's name first, you say Imochem. Okay, we'll calm down in a few moments, but before we go to that, but first, how are you allowed in general to say Hashem's name? Over here, this was the earlier version of saying Shalom Aleichem. Rav Meir has mentioned that we are mekayim this pasuk by wishing our friends Shalom Aleichem, because Shalom is one of Hashem's names. Hashem's name is Shalom. You're not allowed to say Shalom in a place in the Beis Hamerchatz, in a place where people are not dressed. You're not allowed to say Shalom. You can call a person Yankel, Yaakov, Moshe, David, Aaron. You can say any name that you want, but a person's name is Shalom, you're not allowed to call him by his name in the mikvah, because Shalom is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're not allowed to say that name when a person is not dressed.
Does that go for words like
makom
also?
No, I don't think so. Makom is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's not the same stature, it's not the same level as the word Shalom. There are only a limited number of names which have Kedusha, and Shalom is one of them. So here we say, we greet our friend with Hashem's name. Shalom Aleichem, using Hashem's name. In the time of Boaz, they went a step further. They actually said, Al Yud Kei Vav Kei, Adnos. You actually say how are you allowed to do that? You now want to be moitzi shem shmaim levatola. So the Gemara of the Medrash says, "Ace lasois hefiru tarasacha." When you have no choice, if the entire Torah will become bottled, you're allowed to overlook a halacha in the Torah. That's a shocking thing to say about this halacha, because Boaz instituted, people are not thinking about the Ribbono Shel Olam. People are living their lives without bringing Hashem into their world. They do their daily business, they go to make a parnasa. It's not clear at this point in time, in time of Boaz, if they davened, how they davened, what was the Seder HaTzvilah. But people went a whole day without thinking about Hashem. In order to put Hashem into the minds of people, he was misaking, even though it's seemingly against halacha, you should say Hashem's name when you greet your friend. Think about the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that is a slot, and if that would not be done, the whole Torah, Chazal say, would be forgotten entirely. The whole Torah would disappear, because no one would know there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. They even say this, the Bali Musa even say this, that in certain yeshivas, I don't remember who this was said about, the yeshiva was learning, the Rabbah, the Talmidim were learning, and the Rosh Shiva, the Mashiach, he got up at the Bima, and he gave a clap, and he said to the Tzibur, Rabbi, I want you to stop learning for a moment, I want you to remember there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. Even when you're sitting and learning B'Hasmod Rabbah, you can forget there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. And the way to do so is you have to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Now this idea was instituted many times throughout history in many different ways. The classic example is Ezra. Ezra instituted that Klal Yisrael should start writing the Sefer Torah with Ksav Ashuris. There are two different fonts, what we call it today, fonts, scripts. There is, it's really a script, not a font. There's two scripts. There's the script of Ivri and the Ksav Ashuris. According to one Mahalach, Ivri is a mundane script. It has no sanctity. Ksav Ashuris every tack, every little corner, if it's rounded, or there's a tack, is filled with kedusha, with significance. Until the time of Ezra, until the building of the Bayis Sheni, the tradition was when you have a Sefer Torah, you only have Ksav Ivri, it's a kosher Sefer Torah, as long as it's written on parchment, but the script is a non-holy script. Why? The answer is, you are defiling the script. The only place where Ksav Ashuris was written was in the Sefer Torah, that was Munach, in the Aroin, in the Beis HaMikdash. The sanctity is so great, you can't just bring it into a regular shul. How can you bring Ksav Ashuris into a shul where people are talking during davening, and people are saying Lashon Hara, people are complaining, people are not living where they're supposed to be living? How can you defiling the sanctity. In order to maintain the dignity and the kedusha, it has to be only in the Aron HaKodesh and the Beis HaMikdash. Now that's a very great milah, but there's also a problem, because by doing so, people tend, listen, it's not for me. Kedusha is a part, it's the other end of the world, it's in the Beis HaMikdash, I don't have a connection to it, and therefore I can do whatever I want in my life without paying close attention, without living a holy life. Ezra came along and said, "Eis lasois hefir torasecha." If we're going to continue this approach of not bringing kedusha into our lives, the Torah is going to be forgotten. We have to defile to some degree the sanctity of Ksav Ashuris in order to add more kedusha into our lives. We're going to take that holy script, bring it into the home, bring it into the Beis HaKnesses. People should see it. They should be aware of the kedusha, bring some of that kedusha into your life, into your home, even though there's going to be a trade-off. You're going to pay the price that you're going to be partially defiling that kedusha by bringing it into your home. There's no perfect world. If you want to maintain the pure kedusha, it has to be a part. But if it's going to be a part, separated, that might come at the expense of a person separating himself from kedusha. The alternative is to bring that kedusha into your life, but by doing so, you're also going to your mundane, you're going to defile its kedusha by making it normal. Okay, another thing, this also, you see this today in this generation. It used to be that especially among the German Jews, they were very careful. They had a ceremony after there was a bris milah where you were given a secular name. A person would not dare call himself by his Jewish name in the workplace. You have a name, let's say your name is Yaakov. The only time the name Yaakov was used was in the Beis HaKnesses. Yamod, Yaakov ben David. Or on a matzeva. Or for any religious service. But in the workplace, your name is Jack. Your name is Jay, whatever your name is. Why?
A different name altogether.
Why? They used to make a ceremony. It was a ceremony among the German Jews where they would actually give a person a secular name. Why? Why would you do that? And on the birth certificate, you wouldn't dare write Yaakov. You would write some secular name. Why would you do that? Because you want to separate kedusha from chol. Hamavdil bein kodesh l'chol. The whole world is not one big happy place of kedusha. If you bring kedusha into the workplace where you're oisik in mundane matters, and this, even if you're oisik, certainly if you're oisik in averos, you are defiling the kedusha of the name, of the holy name that you carry. So in the Beis HaKnesses, you use the holy name, but in the workplace, you use a secular name. That used to be extremely common among Klal Yisrael years ago. Why? Because years ago, we were holier people. We were holier people. There was Hevdel. There was a gather of Kedusha. Kedoshim Tiyu. Kedusha requires that something holy be set apart. When you bring Kedusha into your daily life, you defile the Kedusha. Problem is, in our day and age, Niskatnu Hadoros, if we are spiritually weak, and if we will have secular names, and now we are head coverings when we work, and live a double life, so to speak, we're going to forget about the Kedusha. The Kedusha will become second rate. Therefore, today the trend is to take that, it's a trade-off, to take that kedusha, bring it into your life. Like years ago, no one would wear their tzitzis outside. This was a very big issue. If you go study history in Tor Vidas, there was a group of people called the Malachim. There was one of the Talmidim or associates of the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe. He broke off.
His name was Weber.
Wasn't it Weberman?
Weberman, yeah.
Weberman. So what was one of the things that there was a group of Talmidim at Tar Vadas that were followers of this person that was called the Malach. The Malach. And they formed a group called the Malachim, and Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich, he threw them out of Tar Vadas. He expelled. He asked the Shaila by, Dr. Norman Lamb's, I think his father-in-law. The father-in-law was a very big poysek. He sent the shaila to him, and he passed, he should throw them out of the yeshiva. What they were doing strange things. What were they doing? What was one of the main things they were doing? They wore their tzitzis outside. Today, go to any yeshiva. I challenge you, any yeshiva. Everyone's wearing the tzitzis outside today. When I was a child, it was an issue. People still didn't wear tzitzis outside. It wasn't so long ago. And today, I mean, it's davar pasha. They wear tzitzis outside. What's the pshat? Why don't people wear tzitzis outside? It's a davar shebe kedusha. There's a sensitivity. A davar shebe kedusha, you just don't. It's not only because of anti-Semitism. People should know that you're a Jew. That's also partially true. But it wasn't only because of anti-Semitism and to show your Jewishness. It's a sensitivity to davar shebe kedusha. A davar shebe kedusha has to be protected. You wear it, you conceal it. You don't wear a yarmulke when you're in the street. You don't talk in Hebrew. You talk in Aramaic. Okay, this goes back. You don't use your Jewish name. A davar shebe kedusha has to be sheltered, has to be preserved with the ultimate degree of sanctity. Today we are spiritually weak. We need reminders every single second. We need a reminder that we're Jewish. We need to have to use our Jewish name in every single thing we do. We have to wear a yarmulke, and we have to have payas, and we have to have beards, and we have to have tzitzis. All of these things we constantly remind us of our kedusha, that we should live a holier life, even though it comes at the expense of defiling that kedusha. We don't appreciate what tzitzis is, because tzitzis, we see tzitzis all the time. We don't appreciate what a Jewish name is, because we use the Jewish name in the workplace and when people are cursing and doing all these terrible things. It doesn't mean, but it's a trade-off, and that trade-off at times becomes necessary, and that is exactly what the Mefarshim say Boaz was doing at this point in time. At this point in time, it was a very weak, the Klal Yisrael was spiritually weak, extremely weak. Vahibi made Shefait HaShoftim. There was no respect for their leaders. That's the ultimate weakness. And therefore, Boaz says, you know where this all comes from? Because people are not thinking about the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, Eis Lasei Slashem, Hei Feru Terasecha, we have to take Hashem's name. You're not allowed to say Yudkei Vavkei, but we're going to do it. Because if we're not going to say Hashem's name the entire day, the whole day back and forth, there will be no Torah. Hashem, you won't have a nation. You won't have a Klal Yisrael, you won't have a Torah. So it has to be Yivarechecha Hashem. This was his takana. All the Mefarshim say this idea. Yeah.
Disagreement.
What?
Disagreement.
Why?
You have the question of going and being Mekayim and Esay.
Yeah.
Of Leket Shikha Beyer.
Who's a Mekayim? There's no kin. They're not being Mekayim. It's an accident. They're not doing deliberately leave over like a Shech and Peah. That was later. Right now, Adar, we're going to see soon that the person in charge, he said terrible Lashon Hara about us. He wanted to get rid of her.
But I don't know how it started, this whole thing.
Yeah.
The famous story is a guy gets married.
Yeah.
Jack Cohen gets married.
Yeah.
To Shula, we play that. Suddenly he's from Yamko, how are you? I have a good business deal for you, I have an investment. And of course the investment goes the way all the investments go.
Yeah.
You're saying the guys with the tzitzis are hanging out? Walk in the street and say Shalom Aleichem to one guy with the tzitzis. If you don't have the tzitzis, the question is when they respond. So it becomes more of a guide thing to the person himself rather than a condition that spreads out. I'm not saying Chazal Chalil that's wrong.
Okay.
I'm saying there's a certain, we've made new parameters, you know, chumras that are coolers.
Okay. They're always problems. We don't live in a perfect world, obviously, but this is an idea. Really, the truth is, this idea that I presented is rooted. Is rooted in the Medrash. Let me read you the words of the Medrash. Okay, the Medrash of the year says, "V'imtidcha ro'oya zos v'tomer shloike." Really, first of all, it comes from the Malach. I'm reading the Medrash. Let's see. V'eskinu chacham she'adam shoyel es shalom chaver b'shem. V'loy amrinu, we do not say mezalzel hu b'chvoidah shal makoyim. B'shvil kvar abriyos, l'chotzi Hashem olav. Where do we find such a source? V'hinei boyaz ba mi beis lechem Yehuda v'yom lo kaitzim Hashem b'achem v'yom lo yivrach Hashem. Now then he goes on to explain the Al-Tachshav Shaboyas Midas Atzmai Osakin. Boaz also had a precedent. Vayomer V'loy Tiknu Chacham Kein V'oimer V'malach. The Malach said to Gidoin Eitzel Malach Hashem Shem L'Gidon Hashem Imcha Gibor Hechoyel. Okay, V'im Titche Roy Zos V'tomash Shloi Birchas HaMalach L'Gidon Hi Sheberachoy B'Shem Hashem Ela B'Shlichus Shalom Kodesh Baruch Hu Amaloi Kein Levasor Shashchino Imo. Don't say that. V'oimer Al Tovuz Ki Zokno Imecho. Do not disgrace the fact that you do not disgrace your mother that she's old. Koloimar al tovuz is boyas. Tovuz al tovuz ki zokna imecha. Tovuz is from the word boas. Don't disgrace boas. Loimar midaitoy also elo lomar mizikne Yisrael. Kiyesh loy al misha yismoich v'oimer eis lasos l'Hashem heferu Torah secha. Rabbi Nosson Oimer heferu Torah secha mishum eis lasos l'Hashem. Okay, so it's a medrash. It's not a medrash. It's a Gemara. I apologize. A Gemara mesech the brachas daf nun dalet.
Listen. You say shalom aleichem.
You say shalom aleichem, but it's coming from Boaz. Why was Boaz misaking this? Eis lasos l'Hashem heferu Torah secha. We defile the name of Hakadosh Baruch Hu in order that, for the big picture, in order that Klal Yisrael's kedusha should be maintained. It is a trade-off. There is a very good argument that you should not say Hashem's name. There's a very good argument that you should not speak in Lashon HaKodesh. There's a very great argument that you should not use Ksav Hashuris. There's a very strong argument that you should not put your tittis outside. That you should not have a beard. Not have a payas. All of these things are really, there are very good reasons why these things should not be done. Because these are holy.
When you say Shalom Aleichem, you say Shalom Aleichem, how are you?
Yeah.
And what does the person answer?
Aleichem Shalom.
He says
the opposite. Opposite, yeah.
Like
yeah.
So, what happens if he's not fine? Does he say, fine, I'm having a miserable time? Usually you don't expect that because.
It's just.
When
yeah.
you say Shalom Aleichem, how are you? You're saying. Someone said this, and
yeah.
It's a wonderful thought. When you're saying Shalom Aleichem, how are you? You're saying to him, God, Shalom Aleichem, he's in charge of everything. How are you doing? And your response should be, thank you. Not thank you to the guy who's saying you Shalom Aleichem, but thank you, Rabbi Le Shalom, that I'm here and I'm able to answer you, and that you reminded me with your Shalom Aleichem that, yes.
Right, that's what you're doing. That's exactly what you're doing. You're giving a person the bracha. Shalom Aleichem, may God be upon you. Period. You're giving him a bracha. May God be upon you. Basically, I care about you. I'm happy to see you. I want you to be well. I want you to be good. It's good to see you. And I'm Baruch Hashem. I thank God that you're here. And may Hashem continue to bless you and preserve you and bring you peace. That's all it means. Okay, now there's another idea. I thought you touched upon this before. Why is it that when you greet a person, you say to him, Shalom Aleichem? And why does he respond, Aleichem Shalom? Why does he respond? Yeah, so the answer is, let's ask a more basic question. If a person wants to bring a carbon to HaKadosh Baruch, you want to designate an animal as a carbon, do you say LaHashem carbon, or do you say carbon LaHashem? The Gemara says you say carbon LaHashem. Don't say LaHashem carbon, because a person might die. He might say LaHashem, and suddenly he'll suffer, he'll go into cardiac arrest, chas v'shalom, and then he'll never say the word carbon. So it turns out that he said Hashem's name, Levatola. Now it's a little bit bizarre, right? Not chayish l'mitzvah for one moment, but what the more really means, the more general means, you never know what's going to happen a second later. If you'll say La Hashem, the fire alarm might go off. Right, you'll say La Hashem, the fire alarm, or you'll say La Hashem, your cell phone might ring, or you'll say La Hashem, and someone on the other end of the room might collapse. there'll be a distraction. And that's very realistic. When you're talking to your friend, any single moment, you all know today, especially today with cell phones, you're talking to your friend and the cell phone goes off and right away he interrupts you, he cuts you right in the middle of a sentence and doesn't let you finish the sentence. He asks, I have to take this call. It's an emergency. Emergency phone call. I have to stop in the middle. So we all relate to this. So therefore you're not supposed to say La Hashem Korban. There's a possibility that, in the big picture of things, you're going to get cut off in the middle of Yimotzi Shem Shemayim Levatola. But you say Karban LaHashem. Now that's only true. Chazal say that's true generally. But when you give a person, when you mock them, Shem Chazal say a person who goes out of his way to be mocked him Sholem LaChavercha, he receives a bracha of Arichas Yomim. That's what the Gemara says. Kol hamatim sholem lachaveroi hizoyche to arichas yomim. So that bracha counteracts the possibility that the person will die suddenly, or in the big picture of things, that there will be a distraction. When you go out of your way to go and give, make someone feel good by giving him a bracha of wishing him, how are you? Peace upon you. You don't have to follow the protocol of Aleichem Shalom because of the concern that maybe the person will die, or in the bigger picture of things, there'll be a distraction. You granted the siyata d'shmaya to the bracha that you will be able to continue and to succeed in your mission and live. That's why you can say Shalom first, Hashem's name, and then Aleichem. However, the person who responds, the person who is responding, he doesn't have that bracha, because he's not the one that was mocked him. He was only one that's a parrot. He's the one that just responded to his friend. So being that he does not have the bracha being mocked him, Shom Lechavero, he doesn't have the right to say Hashem's name first. He has to say first Aleichem and then Shalom. Okay, so that's one of the simple reasons why we switch. You say, the one that's really doing it correctly is the second one, the one that says Aleichem Shalom, Karban LaHashem. Because you can't say LaHashem Karban, a person may die suddenly. But if you mocked him, Shalom L'Chaveroi, you're blessed with the bracha of Arichas Yomim, you're able to say Hashem's name first, Shalom Aleichem. Okay, now.
Shalom has such an elevated status?
Because it's not 100%. It's somewhere in the middle. It's somewhere in the middle, so you should not say the name in the Beis HaKisei, but the name is not a name which is 100% Kodesh that allows you to call a person by that name. That's basically the answer. The name is a holy name. It's a higher madrigal than a regular name. It's the name of a Kodesh Baruch Hu.
A name like that?
Possibly. I don't know. Maybe Yedidya, Yedid Hashem. Names that have a Yud at the end, Yud He at the end. That's also Hashem's name. Yedidya. Names that have Yud Ke at the end. Yeshaya, I'm not sure. Let's go now, Meir, you're gonna like this. I'm coming now, you're gonna like this next part. Okay, listen to this. Who says that when it says here Pasuk Gimel, Vinei Boyaz Bo Ves Lachem Yehuda Valoyim Kosim Hashem Imachem Vayim Lo Yivarecha Hashem? This is an amazing, very big twist in Pshat in the Pasuk. Until now, we've been assuming that Vayhi Bimei Shefayt HaShoftim was a very bad era. The people, they judged their leaders, but they did tshuva. And the point, the time we finally did tshuva is the fact that the famine came to an end. So seemingly it came to an end, they did tshuva. And we mentioned also that when Rus and Naomi returned to Beis Lechem, Vatem Kol Ho'ir, why was the entire city present? They came to give kavod to their leader, to Boaz, by coming to the funeral of his wife. They only would come to the funeral of his wife if they had respect for their leader. So it shows that they did tshuva. No longer are we living in the tkufa of Shefayt HaShoftim, a dar that was Shefayt its judges. Let's put that aside. Let's make believe that we're still living in very difficult times. And there are indications that that is so. And that is why Boaz, indeed, he had to be misaki in this halacha. Maybe it was a technique that would get people to do tshuva, to think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu a little bit more. Who says this pasuk is a statement? We've been reading the pasuk. He said to the kotrim, "Ah, I give you a bracha, Shalom Aleichem, Hashem Imochem." Maybe it's a question. Hashem Imochen? Question mark. What kind of people are you? Is God really with you? What kind of people do you think you are? You think you're religious people? You make believe you're so firm. You have a beard, payas, and tzitzis. Really? Is God among you? I see here a young girl. I see Ta'aruvis. I see here among, that's what it says in the Starosi Davidina. He quotes such an interpretation. Now listen to the end of the pasuk. Ooh, this is shocking. This is shocking when it says, Hashem imochem. Can really be Hashem is with you? Taruvis, where is the mechitza between the koitzrim and this young, attractive woman, Rus HaMoavia? So what do the people say back? They say back to him, you have tainus on us. What are you doing looking at the girl? You're even worse. Hashafait Hashaifim, when the Shaifit says to the people, take out a splinter between your teeth, they say back, take out a beam between your eyes. Yivarechacha Hashem, they say back to him, has Hashem blessed you? In other words, where do you come? Let me see if I can find it inside of here. Where does it come that you should even notice? You're also looking at this young woman. And for us, we're just ordinary people, and we're doing our jobs. But for the Gadol Hadar to take note of a woman, a young woman, that's even worse than not us. We're just average people. So what do you expect from us? And we're doing our job. So there are women standing around. But for someone of your stature to come into the field and to go take a look at a woman and to take note of a woman, that's even worse. So it's mamish parallels the beginning of the Sefer, Shefait HaShoftim, when the Shefait would give Musa to the people, they would respond, you're giving us Musa. You have even a bigger problem. Let me see if I could find it here quickly. A total twist on the pasuk. Okay, this, no, who says this far? The Alshach says this. Oy, Yitachin, I mean, you gave me the Alshach, you gave me the two volumes, of the Alshach, I have it. Oy, Yitachin, Lamanu, Lamdu, Shetzorach, Hameshiv, Shalom, Lechaysif, no, give me one. I'm sorry, not the Alshach. I'm sorry, this comes from a sefer called the Yalkut Ger HaGershuni, in the name of the Igeres Shmuel. Vayoymer LaKoytzrim. I'm reading here the words when it says Latzilcha meyetsa hara hamafata eschem liti nanechem beisha zos beisha zos. Can it possibly be Hashem imachem when there's taruvis? We know that by Hashem brachas, if there's mixed seating, you can't say the bracha shasimcha b'mo'inai. If there's mixed seating, we don't follow this the halacha, but the Aruch HaShulchan says, the Aruch HaShulchan, he was a modern Pesach to some degree. People like to associate him with a lot of great leniencies. Women don't have to cover their hair. There are a lot of very big coolness that people attribute to the Aruch HaShulchan. But he also happens to say that if you're at a Shavrachas, when there's mixed seating, you can't make the bracha Shasimcha b'mo'inoi. So here it says, Hashem imachem. So what do they say? Vayomru lo. So look what they say. Look what he says back over here. The Igeres Shmuel. Yivarech Hashem. Oh, our Gadol Hadar Boaz. May Hashem give you bracha. We see you're not holding. You need it more than we do. If you took note of this, you're in a lot of trouble. Ki l'chol v'adcha tzarech bracha zos. Loi lanu. Lefi, why? Because you're a single man. Your wife just died. You're an almain. We're married men. A married man does not have a yetzahara like a single person because they have pas besalai. Lefisha ata alman the ein adam misha yesh le pas besalai lemisha ein le pas besalai. So they basically spoke back to him with chutzpah. You're giving us musar. Why there is taruvis? Yivarechacha Hashem. Find for yourself a zivuk. You probably have a bigger yetzahara than us because you're not married.
Yeah, you're not doing the work. We're the ones who are working in it.
Exactly. It's all parts. It's a shocking thing. So it totally takes the pasuk and puts it in a whole new light, all built upon the premise of the first pasuk in the sefer, Shefait Hashoftim Adar, Sheshefet Hashoftav. Take out the thorn, the splinter between your teeth, and you take out the beam between your eyes. Okay, let's go another short idea. Why didn't they say back to him the same expression, Imochem Hashem? Boaz says, Hashem imochem, and they respond, Yivarechecho Hashem. Why don't they say, imochem Hashem? The same way you say, Shalom Aleichem, the person responds, Aleichem Shalom. So the answer, this is a halachic issue, because Boaz was an ovel. He was within 30 days from the death of his wife. And the halacha is a person who is Tech Shloishim, he is allowed to be Shoyah, but other people are not allowed to say to him Shalom Aleichem. Not everyone knows this halacha. A person, they're allowed to answer. An ovel within the first 30 days is allowed to greet someone, is allowed to say Shalom Aleichem, how are you? But you're not allowed to greet him. Why? Because he's not in a state of peace, he's in a state of mourning. So you do not greet a person within 30 days and say to him Shalom Aleichem. So he can say to them Hashem Imochem, but they were not allowed to say to him Imochem Hashem. Hashem is not with you. You're suffering from Avelos. Therefore, they gave him Nechama, and the Nechama is in the form of giving a bracha. Yivarechecho Hashem. May Hashem bless you. You learn from here also a very interesting concept that what is the proper thing to say to an ovel. So we say to an ovel, Hamokom Yinachim Eschem B'soch Shar Ve'Litzion V'Yerushalayim. That is a form of bracha. That is the equivalent of saying Yivarechecho Hashem. May Hashem bless you. How are we allowed to give a bracha? It's a bracha. And this person is a person, Rachman L'Stan Uznavel, is supposed to answer Amen. When someone says Hamokim Yinachim, it's a bracha. How do you know it's a bracha? Because the proper thing, all the Sifri Avela say, the proper thing is the Avel should respond Amen. Where does it come from that you're supposed to give an Avel a bracha? We just elaborate, and the bracha we give is in the form of Nechama. It comes from this pasuk. And this pasuk, he was an Avel mitoch shloishim, and how are they responding? I'm giving you a bracha, Yivarechecho Hashem. Okay, so this, okay, we have to stop here. Time is up.